So they really went in on the whole no strings on me thing, which he's an Iron Man suit. They don't have strings. I get that it's a metaphor, but I think the song was just free. I think they was like, ah, catalog. This makes more sense than When You Wish Upon a Star. That's not the biggest problem, but it's Avengers Age of Ultron was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
I should have rewritten that one. My name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with two people who were one space mission away from retirement. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
And Robin Hitchcock.
We watched Event Horizon, Camila.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So many space movies, so little time.
Yeah. And we gave it a 64. Yeah. That's the lowest rated little treat. When we say little treat, we're referring to a movie that was not the number one movie in America that we watched anyway for some reason. Those peak at 86 for The Five Heartbeats, 82 for Empire Records, 71 for Between the Lines, a few percentage points below that for Carnival of Souls, and 64 for Event Horizon. Note my picks are in last, which is fine.
They're very niche, your picks. Yeah. And also, Rex Manning Day coming up soon here.
That's right.
Very excited about it. There's nothing happening here until.
A convention I legitimately like, Sci-Fi Valley Con in Altoona. Has, I think, one of the employees.
It's AJ.
AJ and Rex.
It has AJ and Rex Manning. And I'm like, that's precious, but you could have gotten more of them.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them were available.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure Ethan, like I saw that he's hosting or going to appear at somebody's Rex Manning Day in Illinois, I think. So you could have tried a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you couldn't have gotten Liv Tyler, but maybe you could have. She's not that busy.
Yeah, I don't know what she's been up to.
I don't know. I think she just had kids and just kind of like, you know, whatevs. She's
went
fine.
To chill out. Good for
she's
her. She's
got
the
Tyler
probably
money.
Has...
She's fine. She's got that Aerosmith money.
Oh, yes. And Lord of the Rings money.
Right, yeah, truth.
Yeah.
And Marvel money, right?
Her?
She's a Marvel, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, I guess she was in the Hulk, in one Hulk.
Which Hulk, though? With
Norton?
Okay, yeah. Okay. I was thinking Jennifer Connelly, but that was
and Eric,
the weird one.
Eric Bana? Yeah.
Yes.
Look at me.
No, she was both Hulk's love interest in Edward Norton Hulk, and she was in Captain America Brave New World last year.
She was in Captain America Brave New World?
I have no memory of that.
Neither do I.
She was Thaddeus Ross's estranged daughter.
Which is also
Harrison
true.
Oh, like an end credit or something?
This, guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
We are here for Marvel, but...
We already have a really messy Marvel movie to talk about. We don't need to get into the messier Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a score. We're here for Avengers Age of Ultron. I don't have a score.
Neither
because
do
it doesn't... When it ended, I didn't feel like I had watched a movie.
Mm.
I certainly felt like I had consumed content, but I didn't feel like, aha, a complete film has happened. I don't know. I certainly saw this at the time. I certainly only watched it once and didn't give it a lot of thought afterwards. Anybody else?
Per usual that time and everybody else, I was very excited for Marvel movies. And I did see this in the theater, and I've probably seen it a couple more times since then, mostly as part of a marathon. I very rarely put this on just to be like, yeah, I want to see Age of Ultron. And when you say, and it's funny thing, the only thing that I remembered about it is the no strings thing. And I feel like I was misremembering it, like, because my visuals did not match up with what was happening on screen every time that song was sung.
Is that because of the trailer?
You want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change. You're all puppets. Tangled in strings. Strings.
it's the end. The end of the path I started us on.
Nothing lasts forever.
Could be, but
hold on, Peanut. You're not going to be able to just sit there barking at me for no clear reason. This is not one of the times that's going to fly. You can come here, or I can chase you upstairs. You want me to chase you upstairs, or are you going to come here?
Okay, come here.
Here's Peanut, everybody.
Hello, Peanut.
Hi, Peanut.
Hello, sir.
I'm going to be honest. Maybe for the first time since we started this segment, didn't watch the trailer. I just thought, you know what? This movie is a trailer for itself.
Yeah, it also, like, I don't know. I did watch it because I always enjoy watching Marvel's trailers. Like, they are very well done. Like, whoever edits their trailers, they know what the fuck they're doing. And they always give me goosebumps.
I remember watching this trailer when it came out because I, like Camila, was so hyped for all these movies at the time. And I was worried about the movie because there weren't jokes in the trailer. Mm. I was like, I hope they remember that this is supposed to be fun. In particular, was really upset about Captain America's shield being broken, which ends up being in a freaking dream sequence. Right. That's cheating.
No, I think it adds to the mystique of it all. Yes, it's cheating, all right. But I appreciate it.
So I agree with everything Camila said. I have only watched this in before the next Avengers right. movie reruns. And I walked out of the theater being like, well,
yeah.
And so for this viewing, because I didn't really know how I was going to land, what I chose to do was write my notes in two colors of pen. Mm. And so I wrote positive notes in gray and negative notes in pink. And this was the outcome. So oh, wow. As you can see, it's really
it's even. Like 50-50 for real.
It is really 50-50. And I think that this is one of those movies where the good parts rule and the bad parts are so bad. Mm-hmm. And the overall effect does not come together. So I forget that the good parts are even in it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't all the way in yet. I mean, I was seeing all of them. But I guess at this point, this is what, the 11th one, and I hadn't seen two of them. So like I wasn't watching every single one the way I would be. I don't know. I think they hooked me a little later. And so I remembered thinking like, well, that did some Avengers things.
They avenged.
But looking back on it now, it feels like they were setting the tone for their series.
Yeah.
Like
little droplet Easter global, eggs everywhere.
And just the way they would do that, you know, like global intrigue, a lot of focus on characters we didn't necessarily care about, but we're going to try to make you care about. Yeah. And a lot of plot threads that will build to a conclusion, that will build to a we have to save the world conclusion, but you don't necessarily feel like they stood alone.
Right.
You know, it's not a WandaVision, it's a Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's a Hawkeye, it's a, you know.
And even WandaVision didn't quite stick the landing, no. As you'll recall. So, I mean, I loved Marvel so much at the time. I also remember that I did nails for it. Mm. I did one nail for each Avenger.
Nice.
And I really think of this as, and even though like Iron Man 2 is bad, you know what I mean? And like, I don't remember if this came before or after Thor 2. That was sort of underwhelming. Like, yeah. I knew there were bad ones, but I just, there being a main feed Avengers that was lackluster, that was really when I was like, oh no. And then Civil War was great.
Yeah.
Right. And then Black Panther was super double great.
Right.
And so they kind of won me back for Infinity War and Endgame. But then Endgame gave me, we've talked about this a million times, closure. And everything since then, I've been like, well, why are we still doing this?
Yeah. Like I may have seen one or two since Endgame. And
some of them have been good, mm-hmm. or, you know, fine. Some of them have been adequate, entertaining romps, so to speak. But I just can't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I think this was the first big crack in my ability to care.
There was also just like a major burnout because we didn't need so many spinoffs. Like there was no need for all of those damn series. And it's just too much.
I don't watch that much television. And I was like, I can't watch. I could watch two shows maybe.
Right.
You threw out at least a half dozen. All at the same time.
And then to want to make it like kind of required to enjoy the movies,
yes.
Like, don't do that. Like, if you want, like, no. You know, if we're going to be in the same universe, fine. You have a couple like throwaway mentions, but don't give me plots that intersect and intertwine and make me have to do homework to go to the movies.
Yep. Speaking of doing homework, is it my recap?
It is.
Damn it.
It happened to me last time. We keep losing it.
Do we want me to get into it now?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah.
So
I had to try. I had to explain what's going on in Event Horizon. This is easy in comparison.
Somebody say when.
Go.
So the Avengers are avenging somewhere at a Hydra base, and they find Wanda Maximoff and Pietro Maximoff, who can go really fast, and she can mess with your mind. And then we see that the Black Widow can turn the Hulk into a person again. It's kind of annoying. And then Tony Stark is like, listen, the only way to make world peace is for us to do Ultron. And Bruce Banner's like, I don't know about this, but okay. And then Ultron kills Jarvis. And Ultron gets a form and is like goes about his merry way trying to end humanity, which involves raising a country into the sky. And he has to steal some vibranium in order to do that. And they're going to drop the country in the sky. And the Avengers are running around trying to evacuate the country so that they can blow it up instead of creating an impact event that would eradicate life on Earth. And then Hulk goes into outer space. Oh, at some point, Black Widow gets kidnapped and says that she's a monster because she can't have children, which is my least favorite thing in this entire movie. And if I keep talking about it, I'm going to get so angry, I'm going to explode. Anyway, Cap says, Avengers, .. The end.
I was over, but well done. There was a lot happening. So to your point about the monster thing, the monster bit where I know. And I immediately that's the same way I took it. But also, I don't know for a fact. But I was starting to think of it more of not that the fact that she can't have children is what makes her a monster. It's the fact that she was turned into an assassin and made to not care about anything other than the mission.
I think that is a really
generous,
nice, but what I wish had happened is that a woman in the room had said, oh boy, this sounds really,
yeah.
really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
and that didn't happen.
Right.
So I can't make us generous.
No, yeah. I mean, I understand, but it was just one of those, it was kind of like my personal choice. As to let me bend it to this way so I don't freak the fuck out.
I wish I had that capability.
This is unplanned facts, but I just want to see how bad the attrition is. This is the list of MCU series, and I want to know how if we've watched them. And this is not even getting into Netflix or ABC.
Okay.
You know, the before they the Disney Plus era. Mm. WandaVision, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Messy at the end, but loved it. Mm-hmm. Like legitimately on board. Falcon and the Winter Soldier started, didn't finish.
Same.
Loki, yes.
Yes.
No.
What If, a couple stray episodes?
No.
Same.
Hawkeye, I did, and it's surprisingly good, but mostly just because Haley Steinfeld's
yes.
great.
I watched it and
that
enjoyed it.
That was a Christmas release, is that right?
Maybe. Or COVID? Was it Christmas?
I watched it in a fog, but I remember it being surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it aired between November 24th and December 22nd of 2021.
I think I binged the whole show.
Yeah, I remember doing that. It feels right. Was it 21? Like Christmas time 21?
So, yeah.
Moon Knight, never watched a second.
Yes. Loved it.
I did watch that because wasn't Ethan Hawke in it?
Yes. Very
and
good.
And Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
So I was like, there's too many.
Right. Yeah. It's like, why wouldn't I watch it?
Okay. Fair. Is it good?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I enjoyed it. And I feel like it actually could have done a second season.
Miss Marvel loved it.
Didn't watch it.
watched the beginning, didn't finish, and it was charming.
I mean, that's part of why they couldn't make the Marvels work, right? Because it was building so much on Ms. Marvel, which was great, but people didn't really know. She-Hulk Attorney at Law, I haven't watched.
Oh, I liked that one a lot.
Secret Invasion broke me. I watched Secret Invasion. That's when I said, I'm going to stop doing these.
What is that one even about?
I don't even know what that is.
You remember that thing they were setting up for a while about the Krulls? There were secret Krulls everywhere.
The shapeshifter guys, yeah.
That paid that off. Like Nick Fury was the main character.
Okay. No, I did not watch it.
Loki season 2, 2 more seasons of What If. Echo, no idea.
No.
I don't know what that is.
Agatha All Along, I meant to, haven't.
No.
Same.
Nope. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Nope.
That's don't an know animated about that. One. Daredevil Born Again.
Nope. I just started watching whatever the last season was that I missed, Daredevil, and so I can watch this because Vincent D'Onofrio. That's the only reason why I'm watching this.
Okay. Ironheart?
I started it and haven't been able to find a quiet moment to watch it.
Mom reasons.
I want to give it my full attention.
Right.
We're not even into phase 6 yet.
Oh, good.
Eyes of Wakanda?
No.
What?
Is that animated?
Yeah, okay. four-episode animated anthology. Marvel Zombies?
No.
That was my least favorite episode of What If, so yeah, no.
Wonder Man?
Yes, loved it.
I did watch a couple of episodes of that on Camila's recommendation, but again, I just don't watch that much television.
And I think that makes us current. Yeah, another season of Daredevil will be out next week. But yeah, you see how at the beginning, we were like, yep. A little bit. And now we're
like, what's that?
Is that a thing?
Like, is this when you just make up titles and say it's a real thing?
Right.
Marvel show or wrestler.
I understand. I don't think they should have stopped. One, because we live in the capitalist world and these make billions of dollars. They were never going to stop. And because, you know, they have a billion characters and a billion ways they could go on. It's that run that we talked about came almost immediately after the Infinity War Endgame thing. And they didn't really take a big pause after Infinity War Endgame. So at the moment where we're like, wow, what a release, what catharsis, let us breathe for a minute. They're like, even more content. Right. And like, make us want it a little bit. Yeah. Slow down. Although that didn't. Go ahead.
To Avengers 2, our subject for today.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a point. You were just getting me on target.
Correct.
Okay. Good instinct. It's a movie. It was released May 1st of 2015. It was the 12th number one movie of 2015, ending a 4-week run for Furious 7. Won its opening weekend with $191.2 million. That's just in the first 3 days, including an $84.4 million opening day. That remains the 10th largest single opening day of all time. And this remains the 11th biggest opening weekend of all time. It was second at its release. When this came out, the only bigger opening weekend was for The Avengers.
Wow.
It was seen as diminished, that it could have made more money, but it was the same weekend as the Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight. Which allegedly was a big enough thing. Like, you know how Box Office Mojo will list, like, this is during the Olympics.
Yeah.
This is during a holiday. It says Mayweather-Pacquiao fight on that weekend on Box Office Mojo. So, like,
wow. I didn't realize it was this such a big deal.
That's a world I know nothing about.
Yeah, same. Like, I little sprinkles here and there, I know, but for the most part.
Right. It won its second weekend with $77.7 million. That's the 18th biggest second weekend ever, before falling to third in its third weekend behind Pitch Perfect 2 in first and Mad Max Fury Road in second. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
This was the year where everything made $1 billion. It spent 9 weeks in the top 10, $459 million domestically. It's 29th all-time on the domestic charts. It's 19th all-time on the global charts. Its global take is more than $1.4 billion. And yet, only third for 2015.
Wow.
Behind The Force Awakens, $936 million domestic, $2 billion global.
And Inside Out?
Jurassic World. The first.
Really?
World, $652 million domestic, $1.6 billion global. And it's third domestically. It's fourth globally. It's behind Furious 7 in global box office.
The rest of the world loves Furious movies.
They can't get the cars go vroom.
Shout out,
the
Liz.
Shirts have no sleeves.
Yes.
Furious 7, $1.5 billion worldwide. This is also the eighth most expensive film of all time. Estimated budget on this, $365 million.
Ooh.
You hear that and you're like, can I get a job on a Marvel movie for like 2 days? There's so many people in the credits.
Right?
Hire me to just make sure everyone's names match in the script. I can do that. Yeah. That like no one ever calls somebody the wrong name and give me $100,000. Then I don't have problems anymore.
Exactly. Because like, it's like I'm not trying to like get any higher in the industry than that. Like, it's fine. Yeah. I just really want the paycheck. Let's go.
Shout out to my former improv teammate, Annalie Mueller. She is a stunt performer in this film.
Oh, wow.
And because part of this was filmed in South Africa. Also, fun fact, I joined that team because she was stuck on Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
They were like, she's going to be gone too long. We need another person. And that's how I got on that team.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Your brush with Fury Road.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. $365 million budget. That was second most expensive at the time. This comes up every now and again. Behind only Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which at the time was the most expensive film ever made. Jeez. The current record holder is Force Awakens, which cost well over $500 million.
Wow.
Yeah, this is just the 11th Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I forget. We're pushing 40 now. I think we'll be at 40 by the end of the year.
What? Ooh. Really? Holy shit, snacks.
There are 35 to 37. Depends on how you count.
Wow.
Two more coming this year. This is the next to last one in phase two. The phases don't matter. I don't know why they think the phases matter, but this is the penultimate film in phase two. Ant-Man came out 2 months later, and that was the last film in phase two.
We have an episode on Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. To give you a sense, this is after that Thor you mentioned. This is after Thor the Dark World. This is after Captain America the Winter Soldier, so we know about Bucky. This is after the first Guardians, even though they wouldn't show up in the mainline story for a long time. Yeah. But this is well before Civil War, which is where we first saw Black Panther and Tom Holland Spider-Man. This is before Doctor Strange, well before Thor Ragnarok. So we're in it, and most of our favorites are not here yet.
Right.
In other words.
Yeah, truth.
But we're introducing Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Mostly they were in the post-credit scene in Winter Soldier, but this is their coming out party. This does represent the first major X-Men intrusion into the MCU.
Okay.
Even though they were very, very careful to give them origins in this universe. So they're different from the X-Men that were in the X-Men movies at
the
same time.
They are not mutants. They were not allowed to use the word mutant.
Right.
Which is silly.
This is in contrast to the Avengers movie that's coming out later this year, which is the X-Men from those X-Men movies showing up in this universe from their universe.
Listen,
so the Avengers we're getting later has all of your X-Men from the X-Men movies.
I'm just going for the ride.
These guys are unrelated.
Just going on
right?
the ride. I can't, John. There's no way for me to unwrap any of this. I don't understand most of it. And I'm just,
I'm going to take me on this journey. What can I say?
Take me on this journey.
I want to Barbenheimer it, but man, that'll be a long day.
Oof.
Yeah. No.
That like, there's no way either of those movies will be less than 2.5 hours, right?
Doubtful.
So you're committing to.
I'd be shocked.
So minimum with previews, 6 hours in the theater, if for anyone who tries to doomsday it. Very few fun facts because there's just too much. I will say that Captain Marvel was supposed to debut here, but was delayed because they wanted to give her more. Great.
Okay.
I like that movie. Cool. Here's a bad sign. 0-6 at the MTV Movie Awards and 0-3 at the Kids' Choice Awards. You can't even get one of those.
Wow.
That's mostly because The Force Awakens was sucking up
sure.
all the air in the room. Here's the one fun fact I'll throw in. All through this, Scarlett Johansson, totally pregnant. She is absolutely very pregnant in this movie, which makes the can't get pregnant plotline a little ironic.
Yeah, exactly.
They hired 3 stunt doubles to basically do every time she, you know, moved suddenly.
I saw this.
And apparently they did so well with getting lookalikes that Chris Evans kept starting conversations with the stunt doubles thinking he was talking to Scarlett Johansson.
He's so dim.
When he's the cocky skateboarder in Scott Pilgrim, we didn't know him yet, but we were seeing the real him.
Right.
So I just... am watching and not caring. Admittedly, I did this in too many sittings.
Mm.
I did like an hour and a half and then got sleepy and went to bed and finished the remaining 40 or 50 minutes over the course of the next day. But
I almost did that. I forced my way through it. I was like, it's going to be so annoying to have to turn this on again tomorrow. I am powering through.
Yeah, I turned it on. It was just kind of doing things. Also, like, there'd be moments like I'd have to pause it here or I'd just leave the room and let it play depending on what was going on. But James Spader.
But I remembered. Hey.
He needs to call me.
Excellent choice to convey that Tony Stark's snark. So I guess, you know, God, AI. So Ultron is essentially just what the computer has learned and is what Tony has put into the computer. Like our friendly neighborhood AI stuff right now, yeah. ChatGPT. So Ultron is just ChatGPT, whatever. And so yeah. He's like the dark side of Tony. Is that what we're seeing? But he's still got this snark because that's just who Tony is.
Pushing up my glasses, in the comics, Ultron's created by Hank Pym, who is just like a bad man, period.
This is Michael Douglas and...
Yes, okay. But in the comics, Hank Pym is like just evil.
Okay.
Or, you know, a complicated, but like he's a bad guy. I think that it makes way less sense for it to be Tony. I think Tony should be too smart for this, frankly.
Right.
And Bruce Banner really should know better because he is someone who understands things getting out of control.
Right. And I think he understood it completely and he did know better. It's just Tony was too fucking hard-headed. And just didn't want to listen because Bruce was like dragging his heels the whole time.
Well, this is where that whole arc started to lose me because, you know, that we're building the Civil War. We're starting to plant the seeds, right? Where Tony wants to fix the world because he's got PTSD from
going to
New
space.
York. And Captain America is like, we need some rules.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fandom thing, like not even the fandom, like narratively, Iron Man was set up as the good guy. And the whole time I'm going like, no, you need some rules. Like,
wait, clarification. Captain America was the one who didn't want the rules in Civil War.
I don't remember.
He was the one who was opposed to the Sokovia Accords because he knew that it was going to be misused by people in power.
Hmm.
Okay. I think, yeah, you're right. Because it was Iron Man and Black Widow. And somebody else that wanted to lock it down.
Right.
But that's
so how did we get here? Yeah, so how did we get from that to this? Or is it...
I think that Tony feels the guilt about what happened. Like, so the whole point of the Sokovia Accords was like, the Avengers destroyed a country. Maybe we should stop them from doing that. And it was going to be this quasi-governmental thing. And Tony's into it because he's like, yeah, we blew up a country. And Captain America is like, quasi-governmental? Absolutely not.
Right.
Because of his experiences.
So he's got a little PTSD himself.
Exactly.
I mean, this brings us around to, you know, at the time, I just didn't know why we were spending so much time with Hawkeye and Black Widow. But watching it back now, my main objection is it's a movie about a strong military power unwittingly compelled to use an uncontrollable AI weapon in war. Don't need that today.
No, it hits a little different here in 2026, yeah. And I don't like it. But I did enjoy, I like peeling the curtain back on Hawkeye's family. Like seeing his real life. And then we kind of get in that chunk in the middle. It's just like a time, like even though the conversation's in there and they're not like la-di-da, but it's just the Avengers not avenging. They're just like in normal clothes doing quote unquote normal things. So it's a nice little break in all of the blowed up stuff.
I like their party.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the party.
I was going to say, the party is the best part of the movie.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, that we got a little bit more of that. And I do like the scene between Tony and Cap, where Cap rips apart the lock.
Don't take from my pile.
Hey.
Mostly because I like watching him rip apart the lock.
As one does, yes.
Also, this was the first time, I've seen this movie 3 or 4 times. This was the first time that I realized that the reason Captain America's shirt is ridiculously tight is that it belongs to Hawkeye. They're all wearing clothes out of Hawkeye's closet.
That makes so much sense now. I didn't question it. I just thanked it.
Exactly.
Does a thirsty man ask where the water came from?
And I love Linda Cardellini, so I'm always happy when she shows up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm okay with Hawkeye Family Man. At the time, I was following the Matt Fraction Hawkeye comics, where he was just like a dirtbag who did not have his life together at all. And so it was a little like, well, this isn't the Hawkeye I know and love.
Oh.
They kind of brought that attitude to the Hawkeye series.
Mm, yeah.
I liked Andy Serkis. I liked that hired Andy Serkis and let him use his face.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen all the time.
Always a joy.
Going back to Spaderosity, I like when he cuts his arm off and goes, oops.
Oh, he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm sure it's okay. It'll be fine. Which, like, so yes, I really did enjoy a lot of the little fun jokes within, like, when Hawkeye, and it also kind of, it stings a little bit later on, but when Hawkeye threatens in his mind to shoot Quicksilver, he's like, you know, nobody would know. And then, like, he actually dies saving him later. It's like, oh, that kind of hurts a little bit. But it was nice to see Hawkeye has a family. He's the only one, yeah, who has, like, that point in time that has a family. But it's also just like, okay, but you've got kids at home. Like, now you're looking at him differently about his life choices.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's gone all the time,
right,
and risking his life all the time.
How did he have time to make those babies?
I also, going back to the party scene, I do really enjoy the part where, like, they're like, yeah, we couldn't afford having Gwyneth Paltrow and Natalie Portman do a cameo in this movie, but I think they use it really well for that scene where Tony and Thor, like, brag off about their bumbos.
Yeah.
I love that part. Mm-hmm.
Jane is better.
I like that Steve Rogers' greatest fear is just jazz. Just the existence. Send me to my nightmare. Ah, a hot jazz bar.
Right?
This is the worst.
Seriously. It's like, so, like, poor Natasha is reliving, like, some mm-hmm. of the most traumatic moments in her life, and you're just, like, going dancing? Okay, Cap, mm-hmm. you're doing okay.
He's seeing dead soldiers on the dance floor, even though that is an absolute ripoff of the MASH Dream episode.
I was glad Sentimental Value star Stellan Skarsgård was here for a minute. That was fun.
Yes.
I'm telling you the things that I like, but I want to hear yours. But the note keeps staring at me, and I can't wait any longer.
Yep.
Does Vision have a dick?
Oh, Jesus.
Because he like floats out of the thing, and we avoid, he's like from the belly up, and then he floats over to the window and we kind of pan away, and then he gives himself
clothes,
skin that looks like a suit. He's not there's no cloth there. He just makes his appearance. So in the first part, does Vision have a dick?
I think yes, because Wanda's so happy with him. Although I guess strap-ons exist.
Yeah.
How did they have kids?
They did it.
Is it just magic? I thought they had.
No, that was the kids she wanted to have.
That was all in her head. That's right. Well, I mean, that doctor seems pretty thorough. Dr. Chow, who mm-hmm. created this procedure. And I feel like she would have done all of the things. She wouldn't just be making a Ken doll, would she?
I think Vision has a dick. And balls.
Now you've lost me, because they're not efficient enough for a creation of. That's not a smart way to store.
Are you judging God's creation?
Of balls? Yes. If you were walking around with them, you would too. And speaking of the horniness, I do not believe that Bruce Banner or Mark Ruffalo or any combination of the two can be like, the smart thing is for me to not have sex with Scarlett Johansson.
That
no,
part. That part. There's no way. Like, I love that they were trying to put them together.
Really?
Yeah, I like it. I feel like they both, it made sense to me. It makes sense to me.
I feel like it came out of nowhere.
I mean, yes, but I guess in a sense it does. But also, like, how many times did we see them together prior to this? Like, once, twice?
Yeah, I guess she mostly interacts with Tony and Hawkeye in the previous films.
Right. And then and they're always killing and fighting. So, I mean, there's not a lot of time for flirting to end up in there. So, I mean, it just makes sense that they would be together. And I liked it, and I wish it would have happened. So this is, like, I've seen Ragnarok, like, a bajillion times more than...
Because it's really good.
Than this one. Right. Yeah, exactly. So, but now this, like, now this reminds me, like, when I watch, it's like, oh, okay, so this is what sent him off to wherever Jeff Goldblum's world was. And I'm trying to think if it's actually because Earth turned on him, on Hulk, that he decided that he wanted to escape, or was it more of a betrayal of Nat because they were like, they had that, him and Banner had that moment. Like, sure, Hulk wouldn't feel it, but Banner is like withdrawn. So like maybe Hulk is like, you know, fuck Earth, they hate me. But Banner is staying in there because Natalie betrayed him in that moment, he felt.
So she kisses him and turns him into the Hulk, betrayal. But maybe it's also that he's like, I don't want to kiss this chick. And it's a swerve that takes him to outer space.
Right. So it's just so much. It's
can we talk about
and that adds up to no, go ahead, Robin. You have so many notes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can we talk about the Joss Whedon of it all, please?
There we go. Mm.
Camila's wearing her magic box shirt.
And it's not a metaphor. This is magic box because my husband made a comment. This is referencing Sunnydale's magic store.
This is not innuendo.
No. Mm-hmm. But it ain't, but no, I'm just...
We get very saucy when we are virtual.
It's true.
We're uninhibited. We're not, you know, when you're a foot away from one another.
Right. You don't have to walk out of the room together now.
Yeah. So for listeners who do not know, Camila and I are both like dyed-in-the-wool Buffy fans.
Avid, yeah.
You know, you can listen to Camila's podcast Revisiting Sunnydale for a detailed coverage of Camila's obsession.
Detailed geekdom, yes.
And you just got to take my word for it that I, you know, watched the show and loved it. And it was like a huge part of my cultural upbringing. Mm. And I am one of those people who really admired Joss Whedon as a feminist. And then in 2017, his ex-wife was like, this dude is not a feminist.
Right. Like, oh, y'all got it wrong.
And in 2020, Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg in Justice League, came forward and was like, this guy is racist. Mm. Then in 2021, Charisma Carpenter came forward and said, which was already rumored, that he fired her because she got pregnant, which is like illegal and morally wrong. And then Sarah Michelle Gellar came forward and was like, yeah, I don't want to be associated with him. I'll always be proud to be Buffy, but I am not proud to have worked with Joss Whedon. And the detail that came out at that time was that they had a rule, like the other female actors put together a strategy to let Michelle Trachtenberg, who was a child at the time, never be alone with Joss.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was the breaking point. At that point, I was like, this hurts so bad, I don't even know if I can watch the show. I watch the show still. It's still when it's like, oh God, I'm never going to sleep. It's what I put on. But I always feel a little dirty for doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And knowing what we now know, that's part of the reason that the monster talk, I can't give it that generous explanation that you did, Camila. And I see just grossness even in the fact that it's Nat's job to calm down the Hulk, right? Like, let's get the lady to control the beast, right? I just feel like there's sexism woven throughout.
Yeah.
We don't really see racism because everybody's white.
Truth. Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
I mean, this adds the question, who handled these the best? Because I wouldn't have told you it was Joss Whedon before the allegations, because I think his Avengers movies are very good at moving the pieces, but aren't as fun as I want them to be.
Right. And it's surprising.
I think the first one's really fun.
It's more fun than this one.
Yeah.
But it's not as fun as most of the Marvel movies I love. Mm-hmm. And the Russo brothers are also just like really good at keeping from one scene to the next. Yeah. I don't think they're visionary directors.
I mean, I think that their first ever feature, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, is excellent. That's definitely vying for first place in my MCU rankings.
Right.
And like you said, they moved the pieces and landed the plane with Infinity War and Endgame. Everything they've made since has been basically garbage, but I feel like we're retconning that their MCU movies are bad. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're good.
No, they are. But I don't know if they're like, these guys really know how to direct these, right? I mean, like, we almost have to put a pin in, like, obviously the best one is Academy Award winner Ryan Coogler, because he is. But that aside, like, I don't know. I like, Taika Waititi's better than most everyone else who's done it.
Well, did he do the Love and Thunder as well?
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty good.
I can't remember it very much. I mostly remember Russell Crowe.
I just
which is not a great sign.
I mostly just remember the needle drop of a Teen Spirit, I think, or I forget. Maybe I don't remember it, but just kids running wild.
Oh, the kids do run wild at some point.
I mean, Jon Favreau was a little good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all of this exists because the first Iron Man was so good.
Right.
None of this would have happened without that.
Right.
But the second Iron Man is garbage.
That's still one of the two I haven't seen. This is the other runner on the podcast. I'm pretty sure the first time we've ever talked about Marvel, I was like, yep, there's two I haven't seen. The First Avenger and Iron Man 2. And every time I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I never do.
So wait, you've not seen the First Avengers?
I haven't seen Captain America. No, Captain America : The First Avenger is one of the two that I haven't seen.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I was like, Sean, you just issued an opinion on it. No, Captain America, The First Avenger is also very good.
Oh, it's so boring.
It has a tone that you have to accept.
Yeah, I did not accept it.
Well, just to see how you feel as we get going this year, what month is it? We're about 4 months away from Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Do you feel like you have to watch all of the MCU movies before a new one comes out that you're going to see?
No. I'm not going to do it this time. I just can't.
Yeah, I've done it in the past, and I know it's too much now. But I will watch all the other two Spider-Man.
Three, right?
I also have not watched Endgame since I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I think I may have watched it one time since the theater.
Because I'm like, I don't want to feel those feelings. I'm like, I had the correct emotional response the first time I saw it, and I'm done with it.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, Kaj was born when that came. Was it the first one? I think in 2019, whichever one came out in 2019.
That was Endgame.
Endgame? Okay. So we had bought tickets in advance. to go see it.
And then it was like, oops, we're parents.
Right, exactly.
So are you hyped for a Spider-Man this summer? And an Avengers. Well, that's what we haven't addressed. The first Avengers in 7 years is this year.
I know.
I will see Spider-Man. I'm not like running out the door to see it. And like I said, like I'm 100% in on Dune 3. If that makes it impossible for me to see Avengers Doomsday that opening weekend, so be it.
I just watched the trailer for Spider-Man today, and I realized that I forgot a lot of shit happened in whatever the last Spider-Man movie was. So I will be watching those again, and I'm more excited to see the Spider-Man than I am the Avengers, because there seems like there's just too fucking much going on in the Avengers movie. and Doomsday is like, so-and-so will be returning to Doomsday. Like, calm the fuck down. We don't need everybody. Let's just relax.
It's going to be a flip book so that every character can make it.
It is. this is too much. So I don't know if I'm going to have the patience for that or the attention span in the theater, but we'll find out.
I'm very nervous about rolling out a new big bad villain in it because
But what else were they going to do, Sean?
What, because of Jonathan Majors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Put Dr. Doom in Fantastic Four.
Right.
Like, we had a movie, we had two movies last year that didn't have this guy in them, and they had made that decision. Like, we're building to a two-part Avengers. It worked the first time because Thanos had been showing up for like 4 years of our lives. Mm. And now we've got a new big bad villain that is coincidentally played by a guy we already know in this series. Right. And you're just going like, trust us, it's going
to
be great.
But are we going to ever see his actual face though? Because that was one of my gripes in one of the Fantastic Four where Julian McMahon, RIP, played Dr. Doom and like, you never saw his face. Mm. So that could be a thing. This is how we're doing it. Or maybe they'll come up with some fantastical explanation and we'll find out. I've seen a lot of fan theories online and some of them I ain't mad at.
I didn't get to the Letterboxd, which you can dive into this if you want. It's highest rated obsessively rewatched club. I just love the amount that they're breaking their stats down. This is the top ranked movies only considering rankings if people have logged the movie five or more times.
Oh,
so
these are people doing full rewatches before every Marvel movie probably.
I mean, that's why this makes that list at like 97. It's a little, what movies that people watch over and over again do they like the most? And number one is Spike Jonze's Her.
Really?
Then La La Land, Back to the Future, The Thing, Carol.
All right, I can see Carol. I watch Carol every Christmas.
Sure. Inception, Empire Strikes Back, Jaws, Alien, It's a Wonderful Life. But yeah, Spike Jonze's Her way out in front on that list.
Okay, Spike, stop watching your movies. Spike's no longer allowed to use Letterboxd.
I probably would have rated this much higher at the time, and looking back, it just feels like a void. It's still, you know, high quality filmmaking with all my Marvel friends, but 60? I don't think I can go higher than 60.
Mm. 70.
60 feels about right. I am going to add 5 points because a former teammate of mine is in this, and then subtract 10 points because of the monster comment. And so that leaves me at 55.
All right. 61 and two thirds. Not as good a movie as Event Horizon. You heard it here first. Wow. To the bingo card, as you can probably hear, we've had a series of virtual recordings, so the bingo cards are just
here my hands.
A mystery that Camila has the answer to.
Okay, Camila has a trinket representing the show. We've got Tony Stark Funko Pop here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. No bingo. There's no pumpkins. Title and command. What is it? Avengers Age of Ultron. Nope. Mm-mm. Running to the airport. Number one song. Sign language.
It's not Avengers Go Make an Ultron,
right.
Tony.
Sign language communication.
No.
And career sacrifice.
Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
I'll accept that. Fuck all. Oh, still no. Wait. Do bingos go diagonal?
They sure do.
Yes.
Sean, you got a bingo.
That's a bingo.
Yeah. Robin, what does that do to the big board?
That means I don't have the big board up here, but what it means is that you have two vetoes available to you right now, and you are the only person with vetoes available to you right now.
Ooh.
I haven't used any in 2026.
You have not used one yet.
All right.
How about that?
Congratulations.
Fun. Thank you. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Robin, what you watching?
You know, I don't have that much because I was on vacation. I did want to just highlight one of the Oscar-winning short films, because there was a tie, was called Two People Exchanging Saliva. And it's available for free on YouTube. And it is awesome. The more I think about it, the more I like it. And, you know, we mentioned Carol. It's basically, you know, David Lynch directs Carol. So I think Sean in particular should watch it. The concept is that it is a world where kissing is punishable by death.
I'm good.
And the economy is based on slapping people in the face. Neither of these things are meaningfully explained.
It's sometimes better that way.
That's exactly it. It's very French, even though it was a French-US production. But I recommend, and you know, you can watch it for free on YouTube. So I recommend it highly.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Do we say more about the Oscars after we
go back and listen to our episode? I worked really hard on it.
It was really good. It was really well done.
I was really fired up on the night. We don't actually need to destroy all the Oscar rules as a result of Sunday. I can talk myself out of a lot of the things that were bothering me. One is what I said somewhere in the middle there. We all bought into like Sinners is going to be the most lauded movie in the history of cinema because it got the 16 nominations. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a 2.5 hour long gory vampire movie about blues music that came out in March. Like, it always had a long road to Oscar glory. The other good point was made by Paul Thomas Anderson when he pointed out in 1975, Best Picture was, what was it? Jaws, Nashville, Robin.
Barry Lyndon and... oh, this is going to kill. A Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah. Sometimes the entire premise of saying this was the best when it's a bunch of good works of art is inherently flawed. And a lot of people more optimistic than I have, you know, I said this is horror disrespect yet again. And then one of the big headlines the next day was, sorry, if you lump Sinners, Frankenstein and Weapons together, horror won 8 Oscars last night. And some people even lump K-pop Demon Hunters into that. That's all true. Also, I'm still real sad.
The thing I was actually talking with Camila about before recording is I keep making the comparison to How Green Was My Valley, which is what beat Citizen Kane. And I grew up as a baby cinephile assuming that it was a bad movie because people are like, how ridiculous that the Oscars didn't give Best Picture to Citizen Kane. And then I watched it because I've seen all the Best Picture winners and it is a beautiful film. So, you know, sometimes when a lesser movie wins, it's still good. Obviously, as every listener of the show knows, Camila disagrees that One Battle is good. But a lot of people think it is. And I hope that they don't let Sinners losing to it tarnish that memory.
But that's the point, right? I mean, especially with high level, whether or not you think it's good, we're talking about a very well-made, serious, professional movie by a lot of great artists. I think Robin's right about One Battle After Another. I think Camila's right about One Battle After Another. I think there's a wide range of acceptable interpretations of this movie. We're not talking about, it's not like it lost to Norbit. Like, I understand. It's just, you know, I came home from the Oscars and I was really fired up and I always read before bed and I'm reading a biography of Anna May Wong, the silent to early talkie era film star who was like the first Asian American woman to be a star in Hollywood. And that was a good reminder. Recognition doesn't always come in a timely fashion,
right,
particularly in the arts.
And Sinners still got 16 nominations, crushing the record.
It's still a record holder.
And also there's still, it's a lot different now than, you know, Citizen Kane and the Green Valley or whatever, no disrespect to it, but just like the landscape now, the societal landscape. The fact that we've got internet and, you know, so many of these social media platforms, it's not like these movies are going to live in this bubble, in this silo. That so it's not going to be like, oh, you know, I didn't know anybody thought that this was, that Sinners wasn't actually a good movie, like because of these people that I only hang out with, they all told me, you know, it would be blah, blah, blah. So it's not, it's a little bit different in the fact that we all have our opinions. We all have found the other people who feel the same way about these opinions, who all enjoy the same movie that we like and all that business. We can all get our opinions out there to the public. We can all tell, you know, what we actually think about who won what and why and all of this business. And I think we're better off for it. So, you know, we can share our opinions. We can hear others' opinions as long as we do it openly. And we, you know, we can have a conversation about it, and that's great. And once again, and to just bring it all down to basics, I'm not getting paid from either one of those movies. So it really, in the long run, didn't matter to me. Like, I'll have my feelings about them. But long story short, Ryan Coogler's not paying my light bill. So it is what it is.
Excuse me, and this is where the joy comes back. Academy Award winner Ryan Coogler
Academy
is not
Award
paying your light bill. When he hangs out with Academy Award winner Michael B. Jordan and Academy Award winner Autumn Durald Arcapot, there was a lot of the K-pop Demon Hunters wins were so joyful.
Yes.
So was Amy Madigan. There was still a lot of joy to be had on the night.
Plenty.
Something else I wanted to mention is that this last weekend with my in-laws really highlighted how different my movie watching life is because I don't have children.
Mm.
Like, the day of the Oscars, my sister-in-law was like, what is Sinners? Is this a movie? You know what I mean?
Right.
She's just so disconnected. And everybody was like, I've seen two of these because they were on an airplane that I was on. I'm still me and I would be I would be more like Camila where I'd be making it to the movies when I can.
Right.
But when I can would be so, so different. So once again, I'm happy with my life choices.
Right. Good for you.
By the way, you know what Mary Beth went into Oscar night calling number one of the year?
What?
Hamnet. Watched it at the last minute, completely blown away.
Wow.
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie. You know?
Yeah.
We all have our faves. Anyway, that was Oscars 2. We'll shut up for, I don't know, 6-7 months? No, I'm going to mention it in this segment. But come here first. Here's Camila.
I watched Freakier Friday, which I thought was fun. I liked it. Yeah. Had a good time. The Rip on Netflix original or whatever. The script was terrible. The acting was enjoyable. It was good. It was interesting. The, you know, visuals and it's a movie and, you know, everybody did all the movie things, but the script was really bad. And Begonia. I watched Begonia.
Mm.
And even though I called it in the first like 15 minutes, I thought it was really good. And I was surprised that Jesse Plemons, that's his name, that he wasn't nominated for any? He wasn't nominated for anything.
He was nominated for a SAG.
Okay. Yeah.
He was like the last one out. Like he was the one that people thought had a shot but didn't quite get.
I thought he was great, even though he looks very weird without all of that weight. Like with that tremendous weight loss, like he looks very strange. I prefer him a little heavier. And also Emma Stone was very good. So, I mean, I thought it was a good movie. It was, I liked it.
I'm glad you liked it. I found it deeply annoying. And I think, you know, also going like, oh, I know how this ends, right?
Yeah.
And taking so long to get there just feels annoying.
I think we spent too much time there at the end.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. The acting was strong. I just didn't want to watch it. But I was going to say real quick, I'm so glad they invited Jesse Plemons to the Oscars so that we could have that one little moment between him and Michael B. Jordan. Yeah.
I know. Bless his heart.
Did you like the ending, Camila?
Yes, but I don't think we needed to spend so much time there.
My coworker Kylie, who watches almost as many movies, well, not as many as me or us, but watches a lot of movies for a regular person, didn't have a theory, but was observing a gender breakdown where when she would talk to men who hated the ending, which includes me, and would talk to women who had no problem with the ending. Huh. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Robin breaks that a little.
I represent the women. Yes. I speak for the women who hated the end of Begonia. Do you know what else I liked in Begonia? The score.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, that made my ballot this year. And I was like, I can't believe a movie I gave one star is making my ballot.
And no one talks about his cousin or brother or whoever the other guy was. Great. No one ever mentions him. Aiden Delbis.
Okay. Shout out. He was really good. Great job. Yeah.
A couple of things briefly. Reminders of him. Sure. Do what you want.
That's the dude. That's the same. What do you want?
That's the same writer as It Ends With Us and Regretting You.
Oh, it's not. Okay. It's Colleen Hoover.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This has Micah Monroe and the guy from him.
Yeah.
The
Tyreek.
Studly fellow from Knock Yourself. Go on a date. Watch a movie. Yeah, sure. Like there's not a lot to it, but it has a little bit of real life hidden amongst all the schmaltz, you know, and I can't give it a bad review. Like this is one of those 6 out of 10. Yeah. Complimentary 6 out of 10s. I did tell Mary Beth last night, I want to write a parody book called It Ends With the Regretful Reminders of You and Him. And it's just about a woman having car crash after car crash. But, you know, grown-ups going to the movie theater. You love to see it. I rewatched Scream 7 because I felt guilty.
Back to the theater?
Yeah, yeah. But on a afternoon where I had some time to kill.
Right on.
Like, I didn't make plans. Because I felt like, okay, robbed from me telling the movie what I want it to be, which most of the time I hate. Like, okay, if now I know that it's not going to be the thing that I want it to be, will I like it more? And yeah, a little bit. You know, there's a lot of really good moments in it. It has a really good cast, minus the problems we discussed last time. It's got a great opening. There's some fun Scream stuff.
Yeah.
We were maybe too hard on it because it made a stupid decision with its plot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Otherwise.
It's still enjoyable. I will watch it. You know, I will continue to, you know, support the fucking cause.
And the former Scream franchise directors, Radio Silence, are back this weekend with Ready or Not, Here I Come.
Mm.
It's good. It's definitely a sequel. It is definitely, did you like that first one? Here is some more, including a thing that doesn't happen that often and more in horror than other places. Where the first one ended, when she's sitting on the steps smoking her cigarette, that's where this one begins.
Oh, great.
Here's the next stuff that happened.
I always love that. Karate Kid, too.
Yeah, listen, I mean, this is like, there's Buffy.
Right.
I wanted to bring up the disrespect in the opening credits, where the cast ends by saying, with David Cronenberg and Elijah Wood, Sarah Michelle Gellar, regular credit.
Oh, no.
Mixed in with the rest of them. Doesn't get the with or the and.
Right.
The disrespect. I thought you were going to say the disrespect of not going forward with the Buffy revival pilot, which Camila and I have been texting each other about all week.
Also disrespectful.
This is it's a fucking outrage. Did you?
Someone else has to pick it up.
Did you learn the dude's name?
No.
Robin?
Because the story is that there was just one executive who was like, I don't like this. It's done.
Yeah. And this dude has never even seen it. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Back to your Ready or Not.
Ready or Not, Here I Come is fine. I like Catherine Newton. Elijah Wood is just a weird little guy now, and I love that for him.
I love that path he's taken.
Yeah. If you liked the first one, go see it. I wouldn't necessarily bother if you didn't. All of this is prologue to the movie to beat for 2026, Project Hail Mary, 5 stars, 10 out of 10.
Really?
Loved
it. Oh, wait,
it,
you like
cried.
Sad astronaut movies.
Yes. But this one's mostly fun. This one has jokes and fun. It's the same author as The Martian, Andy Weir, and the same screenwriter as The Martian, Drew Goddard, speaking of Buffy. Mm. But instead of Ridley Scott being serious all over the place, it's Phil Lord and Christopher Miller directing it. And for as much as they've written, and we talked about them a lot in the Spider-Verse episode, the last movie they directed together was 22 Jump Street. They haven't directed in 12 years.
Wow.
And when they do, it's fun comedies. And so this is like The Martian, but with fun.
Okay, are you saying that The Martian wasn't fun? Golden Globe winner for best comedy or musical?
Yeah, it's certainly much more fun. No, and it's so touching. It gets you so much that
Can I please interject?
Please.
My husband read this book and will not shut up about it. And he's seen the movie tonight because he couldn't wait. And I kept saying, if you can't wait, why don't you see it with me Thursday afternoon? And he was like, I don't understand. Does not compute. Because my husband, who's married to me, and I have a basically standing Thursday afternoon movie date with myself, did not know that movies come out on Thursdays now. So it stands to reason that some of our listeners might not know every single movie comes out on a Thursday. Even if it says on the poster a day that is a Friday, it is a lie. You can see it on Thursday. Go.
They do set different times. Some movies come out at 2 o'clock on Thursday. Some don't come out until 7 o'clock on Thursday, but they all come out Thursday. And that's where I was last night, feeling so many feelings. And it's got a really great team. I'm going to miss their names right now, but it's the Dune cinematographer and the Avengers Endgame production designer. So it looks great. I loved everything about it. That does it. Yes. We're set.
Yes.
Let's draw a movie. Apparently, I have a veto burning a hole in my pocket, so will I use it or will I not need to? Well, what the hell is that? 55 Days at Peking, P-E-K-I-N-G.
1963, whatever.
A 1963 war movie with Charlton Heston, Ava Gardner, and David Niven. I'm very curious because it's, what the hell is this?
Supposedly it's on Tubi.
That was my next question is, does this movie exist?
It's about the Boxer Rebellion.
Nominated for 2 Oscars.
And you've got those 2 vetoes.
I am only considering, because it's 2.5 hours long. There's going to be something I actively hate. There's going to be 2 things that I actively hate later in the year. I'm too curious. Sorry to make us watch a long one, but hey, it's a Technicolor thing. It's a 70 millimeter super Technicolor Technorama lush production.
And it's on Tubi.
I'm just reading the poster now, but sure. And it's on Tubi. Nobody has to pay a dime. Let's do it. 55 days.
Yep,
and I'll, maybe before next time, I'll decide how to pronounce Peking. Is that one of the places that has a new name now?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's for next time. Before that, Avengers Age of Ultron, May 1st, 2015. What was the number one song in America?
Uptown Funk.
No.
Taylor Swift.
I think we've had this before. I'd have to look at what was number one around then. We haven't referenced the song specifically, but we've certainly talked around it on this episode.
The song about Dead Paul Walker.
Correct.
What song about Dead Paul Walker?
Wiz Khalifa and someone, See You Again.
Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth.
That exists?
Yeah, let's see.
You would recognize this song. This song plays every time you're in a Walgreens.